Resting in the storm is what we're going to be talking about. Resting in the storm. But this morning, we're going to be dealing with a certain subject. We're going to be dealing with the subject of your job. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm preaching to myself, too. Oh, Pastor, you don't face any storms in your job. Yeah. Keep believing that. That's precious. There you go. Y'all are precious. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about the difference between working and toiling. Did I say that right? My wife made fun of me every time I said that to her. Working and toiling. You understand the Bible, the term toiling. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5 and 29 this morning. We're going to jump right in. There is a difference between working and toiling. There is a difference between enjoying what you're doing. And you know, maybe you don't even enjoy what you do. There's some things I do that I don't enjoy it. Have you ever had something you've done that you don't enjoy? But you do it, you plug along, and it's not work, it's not hard for you, it doesn't exhaust you. I just want to praise somebody in the church for a moment. Is that all right with you? Somebody on staff here with our church, Pastor Tim Jorgensen. I just want to speak about, I didn't ask him if I could do this, but it's all good, and I probably wouldn't have listened if he said no anyway. That's not true. I would have. But that's why I don't ask people sometimes. So in all of this, Pastor Tim is one of the hardest working people I know. He works all the time. And Pastor Rena can testify. He doesn't get a whole lot of sleep all the time. I remember one time, Pastor Rena, I asked about Pastor Tim, and she said, oh, he's going to be, they just bought a new place, and he was going to be painting. I'm like, when is he going to be painting? Because I knew he had a lot on his schedule. And she said, oh, he'll be painting from, like, you know, when the kids go to sleep, and then he'll be painting from, like, 3 in the morning, somewhere up in there. I can't remember the time she gave. And I mean, like, are you in the process of writing a book, too, right now, Pastor? Or have you finished it? Bunch of books. He's writing books. He's an author. He writes books. He has a job that he works at full time. He has 2 kids. 2 kids and a full-time job is enough. Yeah. It is enough. Yeah. Painting homes, working on your investments. I'm trying to think what else. Writing books, all these things. That you don't have enough hours in the day. You don't have enough, at least that's what the world will tell you. You don't have enough hours in the day. And Pastor Tim is a hard-working man. He's a machine. He is a machine. And, you know, not once have I ever heard him say, I'm exhausted. I've never seen him come, I am so exhausted, Pastor. I'm so exhausted. This is terrible. I hate my life. I've never heard him. He might feel that way every once in a while. I don't know. He's never told me. I think everybody wants to quit every once in a while. Everybody gets overloaded every once in a while. But what are you going to do? Are you going to stay there? Are you going to get up and you're going to rest in the peace of God? Okay, so he's one of the hardest people I know. And let me just say this. I was in France. I lived in France for a year. Do you know France does not have a 40-hour week? When they work, they do not. They complain because I think the president moved it to a 30-something hour week. And I remember one of the guys I was on a train with. I was traveling to a church. He was coming to assist me. I was preaching at a church in Marseille, and he was sitting alongside. He's like, "Oh man, I'm so exhausted." I'm like, "Oh, you're exhausted?" He's like, "Yes, I've been working so hard." And I said, "Well, really?" I said, "How long have you worked this week?" And I thought he said 48 hours. That's what I thought he said. I thought he said I've worked 48 hours. I'm like, "Well, I can see how that could take a toll." Yes. When am I supposed to spend time with my kids? And when am I supposed to do this? And when I'm like, "Well, it's just 48 hours." I mean, come on. I mean, we all work 40 hours, that's fine, but 8 more hours, I see how that could make you a little tired, but it's not that much more. He said, "Oh, not 48. I mean, like, well, how much are you talking about? He said, 28. And I looked at him, I said, "Don't you ever complain to an American about working a 28-hour week. Boo-hoo, let's all cry for you." He's like, "But I'm exhausted, Pastor. I'm exhausted." I said, "You want to know why? Because you're lazy." No, that you know, the French don't take that very well. I don't know why. But Pastor is refreshed. I'm not saying that every day he's refreshed. I'm sure there might be days that he needs a little more sleep or wants to sleep in a little more. I don't know. We haven't discussed this subject. But for the majority, he's well put together. He's always on time. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he's working a crap load. I think the reason he's able to do that is because he's relying on more than just his strength. He's resting in the middle. He's working and not toiling. There's a difference between working and toiling. Let's look at Genesis 5 and 9. Now, this is Noah's daddy speaking here. I said 529. Did I not say that? Yeah. 5 and 29. 5 and 29. And he, this is Noah's daddy right here. We're talking about Noah's daddy. Called his name Noah, saying, "This shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." I want you to notice two words here. If you underline in your Bible, if you highlight in your Bible, get these two words. Work and toil. These are two different words. The word work here, are you ready? The word work is the Greek word mahasai. Mahasai. It means deeds, activities, and achievements. Now, this word toil, it means, it is the Hebrew word. Did I say Greek? I did say Greek, and I meant Hebrew. Y'all keep me in line when I make mistakes like that. The Hebrew word, it's savan. Now, it means hardship, sorrow, and worry. Noah was a type and shadow of a redemption that was coming. A redemption. It was a payment to bring forth a different way of life. Now let's turn to Matthew quickly. Matthew, now I just want to tell you very quickly, I have to stay on task here. I got too much to say in a short period of time to say it in. So I'm going to speak fast. You're going to have to write things down. You might have to listen to the podcast. I don't know. So Matthew 11 and 28 says, "Come unto me all that are what?" You have the New King James, don't you? King James, it says labor. And then are heavy laden. Weary is a good definition there. "And I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what?
Easy.
And my burden is what?
Light."
Now see, the church has got that wrong so many years. They will tell you the Lord's way. His yoke is hard. It is heavy. You better carry it when it comes to the Lord. It's your burden to carry, my friends. That is your cross to carry. Come on now. Work hard for the Lord. It ain't always easy. It is a heavy thing. It presses down on you. It'll wear you out. I'm the only person who's heard that teaching before. Oh, my goodness. Y'all look like you've never heard that. You were raised in great churches, I understand. But this is it. The church for too long has said that God will take things from you. God will punish you. God will hurt you. God will put a lot of things up. You're dying of something? Well, that's just God teaching you a lesson, sister. Because his way is heavy, and it is treacherous, and you got to suffer for Jesus' sake. Isn't that interesting? That's what they'll teach you. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, you know, we've got to get in that mentality. As Christians, we should be enjoying life. We should have rest in the middle of our troubles. That used to be an oxymoron to me. Rest and trouble. How in the world can you have rest in troubling times? How in the world can you rest when everything seems to be crumbling underneath your feet? You want to break it down? Let's break it down. How can we rest when ISIS, a terrorist organization, is posting photos of them in certain places like Chicago saying that they're going to hit it and hit it hard? If you pay attention to the news, we have reason to fear. We have reason to shut up ourselves in our home and never walk outside.
Right.
We have reason. But even in all the mess, God can give you peace. God can give you an understanding. God can take that worry away, and you can understand that the Lord, we run unto him. He is our strong tower.
That's right.
He's the one who protects us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one that if there will be trouble in the location, we'll say, hey, don't go. He's the one that will speak into our ears. He's the one that will lead us and guide us into all things. And I'll tell you, and I'm not, let's take terrorist organization out. There is trouble that will always come to the world. It will always come to the world. And you know who should be the guiding light in that trouble? It should be us. It should be the church. Because the church is the first place that gets filled when horror hits the world. We're the place they go to. They'll mock us when they're at peace. They'll mock us when everything's right in their life. But when something goes wrong, when something happens that rattles them to their very core, they run to the church and they look for the God that they kicked out of everything. They've disagreed with his ways, his regulations, his way of life. But man, when they get in trouble, they will run fast and forget all the words and Facebook photo post and everything else that they have said against him. Mm-hmm. Now, so your way should be easy. Life should be enjoyable. I'm not saying you don't have to work. See, this is crazy. We're going to get to it. You know that whole scripture? We'll get to it. I'm jumping a little ahead of myself. But notice the lily of the valley. Notice. You know what most Christians get out of that? I shouldn't work or have to do anything. Yeah. They miss the whole point. Yeah. You know, they want this hippie Jesus. And they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They want to sit down and they want to smell the roses and not think about the future. Because God told me so. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to it. But I want to bring something. Christians should enjoy life. Now, there's a scripture that says the way of the transgressor is who? What?
Hard.
The way of the transgressor is hard. Can I tell you something? A transgressor can be a sinner or a saint.
Yes.
Jesus' way is easy. A transgressor's way is hard. A transgressor's way is hard. And they can be someone who claims Jesus is Lord, and they can be someone who denies that Jesus even existed. So we're going to explain that. A transgressor is someone who is unfaithful, someone who is faithless, someone who is an offender. I like that one. Because I think a lot of people in the body of Christ are offenders and they believe that they are doing the will of God. I'm going to come to you and I need to tell you something in love. I need to come. You know what happens? It's so interesting to me. When you grow up, just grow up. When you grow up, not just in church, but just grow up as a human being, you realize your mouth don't always have to be open.
Right.
And you don't even have to do this. Are you ready? I would say something right now, but I just need to hold my tongue. That's you still saying something. You're still offending. You're still trying to let someone know, I disapprove of you, and if I wasn't saved and trying to hold my tongue, I would tell you. That's you still offending. So sometimes you need to just keep your mouth shut. You ain't got to say something. You ain't got to give advice all the time. You're not someone's Jesus. Because can I tell you something? I've learned something a long time ago. If Jesus can't change somebody, I sure can't. I can't change people because it's only Jesus that can change people.
Right.
I can guide people who want guidance,
but
I can't guide people who don't want guidance.
Right.
There are some people who want different results in their life, but don't want to change crap in their life. I want to live the way I'm living, but I want better results. And that does not happen. You do the same thing, you get the same results. You do the same thing, you get the same results. So if you're in your job right now and you're getting crappy results, if you don't change something, and it might be simple, it might even just be an attitude. If you don't change something, you will continue to get the same results.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. If you continue to be unfaithful. I think some people are quiet in this place because maybe it's striking right where you live. And you that are amening, I'm believing, is striking where you know someone that's dealing with that. So are you quiet or are you praising God in this? I don't know. Let's see. I'll pay attention this time. Now, so a transgressor is unfaithful. Are you unfaithful? No. You can say that right now. No, Pastor, I'm not unfaithful. Are you faithless? Do you have no faith in your life? No, Pastor, that's not me. Are you an offender? No, Pastor, that's not me. Are you a betrayer? No, Pastor, that's not me. These people who do these things bring hard times on themselves. And most of the time, this is what I would love to see a transgressor do. Are you ready? I would love to see a transgressor say, oh God, I brought this all on myself. Help me get out of this. That's what I would love to see a transgressor. But you know what most transgressors do? God, why did you do this? You put so-and-so in my life, and they are horrible. And I told them how bad they were. I told them. I went to them in love, God, in love, in the thing that rules all around, in who you are as a person. I went in you. I told them everything they were doing wrong. And they just caused problems for me at work. I got wrote up because I talked about you, Lord. This is a transgressor. Now, there's a difference between messing up. I think we have all been transgressors at some point in our life. There's a difference between having an act of transgression and being a transgressor. Because we've all had acts of transgression. It doesn't mean that you are a transgressor. Okay? Just because there's something that happened in your life doesn't mean that defines who you are. We have all fallen short of the things of God. We have all made mistakes. We have all sinned. But we are not sinners. We are the righteousness of Christ. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are the righteousness of Christ. It is a difference between living a manner and making a mistake. And those who are not transgressors recognize that they made a transgression, they repent, and they move on. Hello? But I want to tell you, when you make a transgression, you bring hard times into your life. And it's you. It's not the Lord. It's you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's you. Look at your other neighbor and say, I knew it was you the whole time. Y'all are funny people. Verse 28 tells us here that labor is the equivalent to the Hebrew word toil. Now we read in the Greek, or in the Hebrew is the word labor. In the Greek, it is the word toil. Now, the word here in the Greek is it's the equivalent to the word toil in the Greek. Now, it took me a long time. I had to try to pronounce this several times. So you give me grace on this one. Are you ready? K-P-R-O. I mean, they just say O at the end of it. K-P-R-O. It sounds like you're just like a kindergartner trying to, you know, say your, you know, A-E-I-O-U, baby. Okay. Yeah, y'all said that too? Okay. So it sounds like that. It's weird. But it means to grow weary, tired, exhausted, to labor with wearisome effort to toy. Now, God says, and I will give what? Rest. I am not here saying that you will not be working. I'm not here saying that you're not going to work as a person, but yeah, you're not going to toil and labor. You're not going to be weary. You're not going to hate your job.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody hate their job? Don't raise your hand. Just, you know, like, look at me and be like, mm-hmm. Annette, look away. Look away. She works in the office with me. I wanted to look away. Jesus in verse 30 said, my yoke is easy. Do you know what? What is a yoke? What is a yoke? You know what a yoke. Not a yolk of an egg. You know better than that. A yoke. Yeah, it's the thing that they put on a ox or a bull sometimes. My grandfather was a farmer in Georgia, in Cairo, or I guess the pronunciation should be Cairo. But everybody in Cairo pronounces it Cairo, Georgia, right? And he did it with an ox. He did it with an ox. You put that yoke on them. That yoke does not mean sit down and rest. That yoke does not mean I don't do anything. That yoke represents work. That yoke represents doing something, an activity. An activity, accomplishing something. The definition we saw of work, accomplish an activity. Deeds. But God says when you work for what the world looks as intensive labor, for what the world will look at and it will cause them to toil, I will cause you to have rest. Doesn't mean you quit working. Doesn't mean, well, you don't walk out here and say, Pastor, I can quit my job. Praise God. I can quit what I'm doing and I can think no thoughts of tomorrow. And I can just sit down and God will rain manna from heaven and take care of all my needs. Praise the Lord. That's not what the scripture, no, you don't. Well, trust me, you think you want it to work that way, but you don't. You would be bored. You would be sick. You would be obese. That's what people who want to live that way, they're fat, they're overweight, and they have nothing that they can accomplish on their own. I'm sorry, did that offend? But I mean, I'm hearing questions. If you're going to make statements in my church, I'm going to tell you why that's not the way we live. I'm going to tell you why. Because the world will say, I want to live that way. And that is not the way a Christian wants to live. It has not, because let me tell you something. If all you do is lazy in your house all day, if you sleep, if you get too much sleep, you know what? One, it's bad for your health. And two, you don't want to get out of bed. And then you have headaches and you feel bad and you want to lay there and sleep the rest of the day. And that's what the world thinks they want, is to play Xbox all day or video games all day, eat Cheetos, and do nothing. That's what they think they want to do. And if they get that, they hate it. They hate it. Why? Because they were never created to be that way. They were never created to be lazy. You were actually created to create things. You were created to tap into the thoughts of God, tap into the ideas of the Lord, tap into the kingdom of God, and bring the kingdom into existence in the world.
Yeah.
That's what you were created to do. And if you do anything less than that, you will not be happy. And you will toil. And you will not work. Work should not be toiling for you. Now, you may say, Pastor, I'm having a hard time at my work right now. I'm seeing some things that my work isn't good. We're going to pray for you after the end of it. But you're going to have to start listening faster, because we've got a lot to go over. So, God says, I'll give you rest. He also said, my yoke is easy. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Pastor Tim, I've already said, he's a great example of that. He works probably more than anybody I know. And he rests. He looks great. He never comes in like, you know, half the shirt tucked in, the other half out, you know, his hair all crazy and insane, coffee stains on him, kids spit and snot everywhere.
Thank you.
I don't know, right? And he's rested. You might have seen him unrested once. I don't know. I never have. But maybe you have. But he doesn't live there. He works all hours of the night, all hours of the day, and he accomplishes and he works. He works. We'll have to talk, Pastor, and you'll have to teach me your ways. Okay. All right, so Genesis 5:29. I know. Thank you for trying to keep me on task here. But Genesis 5:29 is the word ma'aseh, which means deeds, activity, and deeds, activity, and achievement. That's work. Deeds, activities, and achievement. That's work. Say that. Deeds, activity, and good. And that's work. All right. Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the lands in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hands. Dear Heavenly Father, that's the same word. That's the same word, deeds, activities, and achievements. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, God does not say you will not work. He says you will not toil. And God says he will bless the deeds of your hands. Let's go back to modern day church and people in the church. Are you ready? Not here. I'm talking about other churches. Dear God, I need a job. I've searched on the internet all day. I ain't wrong with you searching on the internet for a job. I've already put up my resume 15 times. I've gone to one interview. Nothing has come. You know what you do? You keep putting out your resume.
That's right.
You keep going to job interviews.
Yeah.
You don't give up. You keep moving forward. God is on your side. You have favor.
Yeah.
Don't quit. All right. And have a good attitude about it too. All right, I'm glad y'all are with me on this. All right, let's keep going. Psalms chapter 83, you don't have to turn there. It says, when I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, God himself worked. When he created the world, it was work. He didn't toil. Do you think God at the end of the day, at the end of his day, not your day, but the end of his day, said, "Whoo! I created the Grand Canyons today. Man, that was tough. I am wore out. Jesus, come sit beside me. Let's play whatever games they played. Bring your iPad. Let's play. I'll read you a story." All right, Jesus was God's son. I'm sure they had fun together. I had fun with my kids. I enjoy playing with them. I'm sure they threw the ball. I don't know what the glorious of hosts who created the world. Maybe they create new stars. I have no idea. But they have fun together. They do stuff together. Father and son. They do stuff together. All right. So you do stuff with your kids. Why is that like a new thought for you, that God does stuff with his kid? Craziness. No, that's all right. Anyway, and so God worked. He still works. And we are supposed to be imitators of God himself. We are to work. You might say, I don't have a job. Well, then still work. How does your house look? You should have a fantastic moment to get it in order. What do? Have a kid? You have a fantastic time to constantly clean every day of your life. I'm going to tell you something. I remember when my wife decided that we talked about it well early on that she was going to be a stay-at-home mom eventually. And we didn't know when and what was going to happen. Things had to come in line. And she's a stay-at-home mom now. And I told Jesse before it happened, I said, I wanted you to understand something. I do not envy what you're about to do. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I do not envy. I said, you see this? This is your domain. Not that I would never help her. I help her. But it's just like, man, this is all day. This is all day. I can step out of my office, and I do. Annette will be able to tell you. Every about 2 hours, I need to look. I have no windows in my office, and I need to see sunlight. Mm-hmm. After about every 2 to 3 hours, I got to walk outside for like 10 minutes. I'll get a cup of coffee, something to drink, and just stand outside and stare at things that are far away because my eyes looking at a computer screen or being in my office. I get out. And if she has screaming kids that want to hang on to her, our youngest, we call a koala because that's all she wants to do is hang on. And I mean, I do not envy that. That is hard work. It would be toiling for me. That would be toiling. But if that's where you are, you can do it in the Spirit of God. You can do it with the Lord's help, and he can make it work. And let me tell you something. And if you are a stay-at-home mom, whatever your job is, if you're toiling, you need to change something. And maybe the first thing you need to change is maybe an attitude. Maybe you need to change an attitude quickly. Can I say something to stay-at-home mom? I've talked to stay-at-home moms. It's like this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to pull my hair out. I just want to shut them in the room and let them scream for like an hour and walk away. Well, if that's you, you know what you need to do? You need to recognize what you are doing is affecting a human's life for the rest of their life. That if you train a child in the way they should go, they will not leave from it. They will not forsake it. You have an opportunity to shape someone in this society, not as the world does, but as God would. That's an amazing responsibility. That is an amazing responsibility. Turn with me to Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. You know, I've had people tell me before about my job. Let's talk about being a pastor for a moment. I've had people tell me, do you, they would ask me, are you full-time? Do you have a real job? I always love that one. Do you have a real job? I'm like, no. No, I don't have a real job. I just come here and watch Netflix every day and sleep in my office. You're like, I get tired of sleeping at home, so I come here to sleep. And then when I get tired of sleeping here, I go home and I sleep there. You know, I do make the statement. I have fun with people who are like, no, I like to stay in my little pretend job here. Just sit around and pretend paperwork and pretend finances and pretend phone calls. I'm like, I like this job. But you know, and most of you, that doesn't come from you. I know, you know, I've been there. I've been there when you've had devastating things happen in your life. I've been there when we've got phone calls at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. I've answered your phone calls. I've called you back when things were devastating. We've cried together. Yep. We've experienced the same pain together. There have been times that I've got a phone call, even recently, within the last month, your kid, you know, gets hit in the head with a baseball. They're not here right now, but they know who they are if they're listening. And I get up and I go to the hospital at 1, 2 in the morning and pray and lay hands on people. I'm there. I've cried. I've been chewed out. I've been lied on by members and people who told me that they were with me, that they would never leave me, that they would never forsake me, that they had my back, that they were here. And I've had all that. And so I want to tell you, there are times that it would be easy to toil. And then, you know what? When people have problems, you know who they run to? They run to their pastor. And that's fine. I'm not against that. It depends, though. Now, don't call me at 3 in the morning for a headache. You could take a Tylenol and go to bed and call me in the morning, dear Lord. Don't call me for something silly. I will tell you what to do in a wonderful Jesus way and hang up. It's happened before. It's happened. But for the majority of people call me with real problems, and we talk about real things, and I suffer, and it pulls on my heart, and I'm devastated when other people are devastated. And, you know, I don't clock in and I don't clock out. It's a calling. It's 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter if you're on vacation. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're spending time with your family. It doesn't matter. When there is a need, you have to be there. You have to make sure it's covered. You have to make sure it's covered. It's a part of the job. And so I tell you all this, not that you should feel sorry for me and say, oh, Pastor has it so hard. No, actually, I love my job. I told Annette this week, I said, I love what I do. And I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things. I look forward to Sunday. I don't know if you look forward to Sunday like I look forward to Sunday. I love Sundays.
Yeah.
I love coming and I love preaching to you. I love preaching the word of God. I love doing what I'm called to do. Some of you, this would petrify you. Some of you would get up here and you hate crowds and you hate standing in front of people and you can't imagine talking in front of people. You can't imagine that. I love it. I love it. You know, there's some people that work on a oil rig. What do they call them? Either roughnecks or leathernecks. That's what they call them. I would hate that. I would hate everything about that. One, being on a, you know, being just nothing but dudes 24/7 for long periods of time. Guys stink. I don't know if you know that. Guys smell bad, especially when they just work with only other guys. They'll kind of, you know, make it a little better if it's girls around. But if it's just guys, they smell bad. That's why I would never work in the Navy. I would never be a Navy guy. Never. Nothing wrong with the Navy. And those who, I'm sure there's a grace to be there, but I never. That was like the worst thought I could possibly. I wanted to be in the military when I was young. I wanted to be on the Air Force. I wanted to fly. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do. But I just couldn't imagine close quarters underwater for long periods of time. I mean, like, no, guys are nasty. They just are. We are. I don't know why, but we just are. We're nasty. And it's women who cause us to be better. And so that was like my worst. But there's some guys who love that. They love being a leatherneck. They love working on oil rigs. It's not toiling for them. It's work that they wake up and they love to do every day. There are contractors that love. I roofed for a period of time for probably about 2 years. I hated it. It was hot in the state of Florida, and I was the youngest person there and the newest person. So you know what my job was? I was the gopher. I had to show up before everybody showed up. I had to get all the shingles. We didn't have no nice equipment that would lift it up. I had to carry them up the ladder and throw them up. So I had to get there before everybody, put all the shingles, and then my job was to run back and forth and grab the boxes of shingle, cut them open, and then slide them down while they had the nail guns. You try keeping up with somebody on the beaches, the pitches are very sharp because of the wind is so strong. And so that was work I hated. I hated that work. Didn't take me long to figure out. One, in Florida, I wanted an air-conditioned job. I wanted to be inside. It didn't take me long to figure some things out. And that was toiling for me. But guess what? For others, they would have it no other way. They hated being inside. They hated the idea of being stuck in an office. There are people who are landscapers, and it's what they do, and they love it. It's not toil. It's work for them. It's achievement for them. They're proud of what they do, and when they're done, they are even drive around and say, I was with a roofer once. I drove around and said, see that roof? I did that roof, and told me the year. And then I did that roof, and I did that roof, and I did that roof over there, and I helped him build that house. They were proud, and they loved what they did. What is horrible for one person is work for another. What some person would be labor and toil, and they can't stand it, for another person, they eat it up, and it's all what they're about. It's all what they're about. And so this morning, your job should be something you enjoy. Now, you might say, I want to pray for people afterwards that don't enjoy their job. So if that's you, get ready for it. And I can see in some people, like, God, we got to stand up again, and people have to pray for us. It's what we do. We're a family. We pray for you. All right. And so Matthew, did we go to Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 6. This is where a lot of Christians get, the hippie shakes from. All right. Not many people know the song. All right. No problems. Matthew 6 and 28. They take it that Jesus doesn't want them to work. God wants them just to sit on the couch, and it's everybody should take care of them except for themselves. Verse 6 and 28. And why take ye thought for your raiment? Guys, this is a great place to elbow your wife. I'm kidding. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now I want you to know something. It says toil. It doesn't say they don't work. It does not say, but I can hear somebody right now. A lily works? Yeah, sure. Yes, it does. You know what a lily does? A lily works. It draws nutrients from the ground. It takes sunlight and converts it to energy. It takes. It will create sugar. Now, what do we call this? We call this photosynthesis. And then there's even, I'm trying to remember if I can go back to, is it the Calvin system? Is that what they call it? The Calvin system, which is basically a cycle that plants go through where it takes light, it takes nutrients from the ground. Somebody Google me, make sure I'm right. What? Krebs cycle? I'm pretty positive there's also a Calvin cycle. Look it up. I'll look it up after service, but I'm pretty positive. There's several cycles of things, but a plant will take carbon dioxide here and change it to oxygen. It's working. It's doing something. What is it doing? It has deeds, activities, and achievements. It's working. And so it's not that it doesn't work. It says it doesn't toil. I believe personally that lilies love being lilies. I think lilies wake up in the morning. You know what I'm saying. Wake up in the morning and says, I love what I do. I'm doing what I was created to do. They do not toil, but they do work. All right, verse 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or wherewither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, of all these things, but ye seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He is not saying, quit your job. I can't tell you the amount of Christians who have heard that and says, oh, I don't have to work. They get this attitude that I don't have to do anything. God's just going to take care of everything. No, he said, don't toil. God works. You should work too. Let's look at, don't worry about it. Second Thessalonians, write this down, 3 and 10. What does it say? You don't work. You don't eat. What? You just destroyed my whole theology, Jesus. Don't work. Don't eat. How interesting. And I want to tell you something. I love eating. I enjoy it. It is a pleasure to me. Some people just eat to live. I don't live to eat because I would be much fatter than I am right now. But I will tell you this. I love food. I love food. Now, food should not have a control over you and dictate everything you do. But I love food. I love the taste of pecan pie. It is delicious. And there are some things, I'm not telling you because I don't want it in my house. It's like kryptonite to me. Like I won't allow certain things in my house 24/7 because I would just eat it and eat it and eat it till it's gone. Yeah. So I make sure it's not there. That is my self-control. I make sure it's not there because I don't want it in my house 24/7 because that is just, it calls me. It speaks to me. It does. I will be full and my stomach will tell my brain, stop. And then my brain will tell my stomach, do you taste this? What do you mean stop? Expand. And so some people, you know, I only eat so my body can run like a machine. Well, that's fine. Good for you. But I eat ice cream every once in a while because I love it. I eat certain things because I love it. I love the flavor. No one needs a cheesecake. No one needs cheesecake. Cheesecake is not a necessity of life, but it is delicious. And it goes amazing with coffee.
Oh, my gosh.
Be like, what is your point? I don't know. I start talking about food, I get lost. No, but what it is that when we don't allow things like this to control our life, right? Right? I don't know. I'm sorry. Cheesecake got me so confused. But if you don't work, you don't eat. That's how we got off. Ephesians 4:28. Write this down. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. Anybody ever stole? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That was a scratch. That wasn't raising. I saw that. Don't raise your hand. But this is what the Bible tells us. Steal no more, but rather let him labor. This word labor is not toil. This word is achieve. Working with his hands, which things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. God is saying, one of the points he's making here is that we work not only so we can eat, but we work so we can spread the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that we can give to our local church. That is one of the purposes God says we work, is so that we can give to those that are in need. That's one reason. Now, God's yoke is what? And his burden is what? There you go, my friends. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read this, and I am ending. Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. As you're working, God wants you to work and have a good attitude. He wants you to bless the kingdom of God, God's people, and God wants you to bless your family and yourself. God wants you to bless yourself. There are things that you enjoy doing that no one else enjoys doing, maybe. I don't know, or maybe just a few people. You have a hobby. God wants you to be able to enjoy that hobby. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 5 and 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your what?
Nets.
What?
Nets.
Nets. Is that plural or is that singular?
Plural.
Plural. What does plural mean?
More than one.
Let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said, Master, that's how I figured he talked to Jesus. We've toiled all night long. What did he do?
Toil.
He didn't work, he toiled. Now, you know, you can love what you do, but every once in a while it could be toiling to you, not work. You could love what you do and then have a day where just everything seems to go wrong. And I ain't working today. I'm toiling today. It's hard. This is labor. This is pushing. This is taking more effort than it normally should. This is actually not bringing me joy like I normally have in my work. But this is bringing me pain. This is bringing me suffering. I'm wanting the day to be over and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I've had those days where, I mean, like, I've already felt like I've worked an 8-hour day. I've already felt like I've put all my hours in, and it's 10, and I'm hungry, and I'm tired, and I want coffee, and people are irritating me.
Yes.
Oh, that's just me, huh? I'm just making that up. That's not real. And so, in all of this, Simon, what he enjoyed doing was becoming toil for him. Why? Because he wasn't getting the results that he thought he should have. I toiled all night. I did this all night long, and I have taken nothing. Okay, are you ready? This is where But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. One net. Isn't that interesting? God said, let down your nets. And Simon said, I'll let down the net. Now, I came from a fishing village, fishing town. That's what they did. They have shrimp boats. And if you've ever seen a shrimp boat, you know, Forrest Gump, y'all watch that movie, right? When they put the nets down, it ain't on one side. It's on both sides. You know what happens if you put down on one side and you hit a big haul? You begin to lean on the side that got the haul. Where if you're loaded down on both sides, you're able to handle it. If you're loaded down on one side, you become unbalanced and are able to sink. And so that's what happened to him here. He put down one net on one side because God told him to put down your net. He's like, Lord, I'll obey you, but not all the way. I'll do it the way I think it needs to be. Because Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He wasn't out there fishing all day long. He was a fisher of men, but he wasn't a fisherman.
Right.
And so what does Jesus know about fishing? I don't know. Everything. What does Jesus know about bees? Pretty much everything. What does Jesus know about machining? Pretty much everything. You know? Well, pretty much everything. What does he know about sales? Everything. What does he know about my work? everything. I work at Burger King. He knows everything about Burger King. I work at McDonald's. I work at Walmart, Target. He knows everything about your job. And he is able to help you, guide you, and direct you into all things. Now, verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. Do you know when you have too much stress on one net, it will break it. It absolutely will break it. And these shrimpers and these people who do this for a living, they know that. They know if one side is too heavy. This is what will happen. If they hit these shrimpers, if they will hit a pocket of shrimp and their other side didn't hit, they will loop around because they need it in the other side. They know that. They don't allow themselves to become off balanced. They turn around and they hit the same place again, but making sure their other net hits the load.
Right.
Because they need to be solid. They need to be level. That'll preach right there. Now, when you listen to the voice of God, you'll have increase in your life. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, He will lead you into great blessing. He will cause you to go from toiling to working.
Right.
Now, this is it. I'm ending with this. How the job that you have, how to change it from toiling to working. I'm going to give you 7 points really quick, and then we're going to pray for you. One, begin your day with prayer, praise, and study of Scripture. Now look, you ain't got to hold a whole Bible study. You ain't got to have, 10 hours. But I don't want to wake up early. You ain't got to have Bible school in your house. You might take one Scripture and just read it and meditate and think how that applies to you.
Right.
Just one. Reading one. That's all you could do? Read one. Praise God. Pray. Father, thank you. You ain't got to intercede for the entire world. Just pray, I thank you for this day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father. Help my attitude to be good. Lord, if I face some troubling stuff, I'm not going to let one bad experience mess up my whole day. And I remember I had a bad day one time, and a friend of mine said, what happened? And I said, this happened. And I told him about it. He says, you know what? That's all that happened to you. It sounds like a pretty good day. And it really just changed the whole way I thought about it.
Yeah.
I looked at it and said, you know what? You're right. If that's the worst thing that happens to me all day, that ain't too bad. That ain't too bad. You get chewed out at work, one customer chews you out. So what? Don't let that affect your whole day to be crappy.
Right.
All right, let's keep going. Number two, throughout the day, meditate on the word that you've studied. Bring that scripture back up.
Yeah.
Number three, continue to cast your care upon the Lord. You're going to have another opportunity throughout the day to cast your care upon the Lord. Be thankful for your job. I hate my job. You have a job, though, don't you?
Right.
Be thankful for your job. That includes everybody. Stay-at-home moms. I don't know. Is there a better title I could put on that? Something sounds more executive. Executive engineering of domestic... domestic engineering, executive domestic engineering. Oh, chief executive. We're getting better. You should have cards made. Now, number five, are you ready? Prayfully desire raises and promotion. Do not covet them. You should want to increase in your job, but don't get to a point where that's all you're working for. Don't get there where that's everything you're working for. God is your source. The job is just one of the channels that He's going to bless you through.
Yeah.
It's not your only source. It's one source. So prayerfully desire raises and promotions. Number six, are you ready? Sorry, listen to the tape. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Tithe joyfully. Number seven, if you don't like your job and it's not joyful being there, start trusting God for it to change. Don't just quit. If you want to change in your life concerning your job, these are the things you're going to have to do. Not that you don't ever quit. God will lead you into quitting a job. But can I just say this? If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't quit a job without another job in line.
That's right.
That's called ridiculousness.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what do you think is going to happen for that week you're living from paycheck to paycheck that you don't have a paycheck coming in? What do you think is going to happen?
Fast.
Think about it. You're going to fast and pray? Yeah, they're going to fast and pray, all right. It'll be a forced. It will be a forced fast. You don't. This is what happens. Most people will do that. And then they'll be like, why? Why is God punishing me? Why is God? No. You quit your job knowing no income was coming in. I wonder if God ever thinks, why are Jesus, are they saying this about me? Why would they say such things about me? All right. This is what I want you to do. If you need change in your job right now, I want you to stand up. You say, you're speaking, I'm toiling. I need a change in my job. Would you stand up? I want to pray for you this morning.